Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, ma'am, with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Tuesday, June the 9th, 2026, 15 minutes past the hour. We thank Joey Deoria, Bozo the Clown, for so many years on WGN-TV, 17 years, for joining us in hour number one. That was a lot of fun during anniversary week. Well, we've got a lot of news to cover this hour. Last night, during City Council, you've heard on the news report, City Council did send on to the voters 8-1 with an 8-1 vote the idea of extending City Council terms to 4 years and staggering those terms. That will be on the November ballot. We'll see what happens. Fifth Ward City Councilman Thaddeus Smith was the only person who voted against that last night. That was kind of interesting, I think, in a lot of people's mind. Last night, there were probably 10 people in the audience at City Council, one of the lowest turnouts I have seen in quite some time, and really not a whole lot of people talking about the issues of the day. I want to play the interview with Thaddeus Smith. You're hearing it on the news report, but he was kind enough to give us an interview after the meeting to let us know why he voted no. Here's that interview, and then we'll come back and take phone calls. 740-383-9944. Here's Fifth Ward City Councilman Thaddeus Smith last night. Scott Spears here, WGH Talk, after tonight's City Council meeting with Fifth Ward City Councilman Thaddeus Smith. Tonight, Council voted 8-1 to send along to the voters in November extended council terms, 4 years, staggered terms. The lone no vote on that was Thad Smith here. Thad, why'd you vote no?
Well, you know, I was just trying to, you know, not be different, but I think it keeps everybody's feet to the fire, makes them work just as hard. It's not that I wouldn't support it at the ballot, because I probably will vote yes for it. But, you know, the other issue with it is campaigning. You spend a lot of time campaigning when you're running for city council, and that eats up a lot of time when you could be doing other work. So that's a good thing why it should happen. But I voted no just because, you know, I think just keeping people's feet to the fire is what, you know, two-year terms is going to do, really. It's not going to have you stuck at 4 years, have you stuck with somebody for an extended period of time. Might make it easier to replace somebody real quickly. That's about it. I mean, nothing too major about it, I suppose.
The major questions that people have had who I've talked to about this are, this has been the way it's been for at least half a century, possibly longer. What is different now that there is such a learning curve that there hasn't been? And has there ever been a case where a whole new council was elected? I don't ever remember one.
Well, outside of the council that I was elected to my first term, that was an entirely new council. Well, with the exception of two people, I suppose. Yeah. You know, so I guess you still lose a lot of institutional knowledge, as people would say, but that's kind of like the job. You got to learn it, you know. And like I said, I don't not support the 4 years. I will definitely vote yes for it as a member of the community, simply because I've campaigned, and quite honestly, that's a terrible portion of the job is campaigning. So, and that eats up, like, by the time you get elected, the whole next year you're campaigning to get reelected. It'd be nice to be focused on just city stuff, city business, not worried about if you have to get reelected again if you want to. So,
quick quick final question on this. State rep positions are still 2 years. National Congress, still 2 years. And it seems like the public wants term limits, not longer terms. To put this on the ballot, do you think in a year that we're going to vote for governor with high voter turnout, that this has a good or better chance of passing than it would in a municipal year when people actually vote for just you guys?
Yeah, no, I think that the voter turnout for when this is going to go on is going to be extremely low, personally. So I question whether or not it'll pass for sure. And to your point with everybody else being 2 year terms, that's kind of it too. Everybody else has 2 year terms. Why do we need 4 year terms? But again, I've also lobbied for this. So, I mean, if anything comes out, why did he vote no? I mean, you see me, I have lobbied for it before, but I just give it some more thought. And I've listened to kind of what some of the public was saying. And it sounds like not even the public was too interested in having it at 4 year terms. So that was a lot of why I voted no, is because listening to what the public said.
Fifth Ward City Councilman Thaddeus Smith. And we thank 5th Ward City Councilman Thad Smith for giving us that interview last night. Remember, he was the lone no vote against sending 4-year terms and staggered council terms to the voters this coming November. Now, I think that should prove something. Now, Thad says he has lobbied for this to happen. He probably will vote for this, I think is pretty much what he said. But also he said that he would, because of what people have said, he voted the way he did. I think that's very good. Go ahead, caller.
I chose peace instead of city council last night. I went and watered the community garden instead of going to city council.
I'll tell you, when I, and Matt did get out of bed last night, so he was there and he was one of the 10. And it, not counting us, I looked around that room last night, and I thought, this is the vote to change council term limits. This is the vote to...
No, our vote is in November.
Well, but this is... Well, yeah, I guess if we look at it that way, then why say anything about anything?
It's pretty much the point that we're at right now.
Well, if we're at that point, I think we ought to shut the meetings down. I mean,
Danny Clark said, if you catch it at the very end, they cut the live stream off, and I'm going to get the audio from Pollock, but Danny Clark said, well, this was a great meeting. A bunch of stuff was learned, and there wasn't any, and I'm sure he was getting ready to say nonsense or public comments or, you know, whatever, but yeah. And did you hear how the one kid got up there, and he clearly goes to Buckeye Community School, which is where Sean Barr teaches, and he wants a crosswalk there or whatever, that's a noble cause, but did you hear how they just thanked him over and over and over again for getting up there and speaking? Oh, we're so grateful for you being here. We're so please come back. Please speak to us again. And then everybody else, and we actually, I can't say everyone, some of us actually get our backs, city council turns their backs to us. So I hope they realize that that's viewpoint discrimination. When you praise one speaker, but you chastise another, that's viewpoint discrimination.
Yeah.
And that piece of legislation they're looking to next Monday, that's just going to solidify it. But to Thad's point, Thad has only ever ran one contested election, and that was against Corey Brown. Thad was not a member of council then, so he wasn't struggling with being a member of council and running a campaign at the same time. The last time he ran a quote-unquote campaign, he ran unopposed. So why the hell do these people keep talking about how hard it is to campaign and be a city council member at the same time when none of them have done it?
Well, here's what I think on the subjects that are just being broached here. Now, I don't know who this kid was who got up and spoke. I mean, I give him credit last night for getting up and doing that.
Yes.
That I don't see anybody else that age there doing that.
Nope.
Okay, so he did it, and I think it seemed like a nice family. I met him. Very nice people.
Oh, but you know what? Now, did you hear the mother talking from out of turn, and I mean, what she was saying was she was just encouraging her son, but if she is allowed to talk from the back of the room, then everyone has to be allowed to talk from the back of the room. No one gaveled her, no one told her to, you know, stop talking or come to the podium or anything else. It was fine for her to do that. But if noise comes from the back of the room that they don't like, then they need to put out legislation.
Well, here's the thing.
Do you see that double standard?
Well, but I do.
It's an all or nothing.
Well, yeah, but
you gavel one person and not another.
I do think they made her come up and get on the record at one point.
At the end.
Yeah.
At the very end. But they allowed her to continue to speak from the back of the room. I've been told to be quiet.
Well, here's what I want to say about
that. I've said one word.
About that particular thing. Because, I don't know anything inside about this, but
do you think that behavior is different than what you've seen in the past towards other speakers?
Well, here, I think this is the point I'm getting to here, is that it was very interesting because there was a person who said to me out in the foyer, because I was hanging around waiting for Thad, because Thad had to go get his bag before we did the interview, and I was waiting out there in the foyer, and somebody came up to me and said that they felt, and they said they thought the kid did great, they're glad he was there,
yes.
And I'm in that boat as well.
Yes,
but
great to see young people involved.
But they felt that it was a put-up.
It was staged.
It was staged. And I don't know that it was. But that was certainly some other people's opinion, and there weren't a whole lot of people there to begin with last night. So I thought it was kind of interesting that was the...
Have you ever seen... How often do you see people, like, multiple members of council? Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. This is such a great idea. This is so wonderful. And nobody mentions... I mean, anybody else gets up there. I'm like, hey, you know, there's no sidewalk to push your baby to Job and Family Services. Oh, well, that's too expensive. We can't do anything like that. This kid wants to enforce traffic laws on Center Street from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., wants like a cop there, sitting there to enforce it. Oh, thank you so much for bringing these ideas to us. We're going to look into this. This is the greatest thing since sliced bread. Please continue to come back. And your mom yelling from the back of the room, that's fine, because she's saying things that we want to hear.
Well, here's...
They need to realize how this shit's coming across, because that's exactly how it's coming across.
Well, here's what I want to... And I don't want to make this sound grander than it is, but we are less than a month away from the 250th anniversary of this country. And and I believe two things about this country. I believe if we do not have a press, we don't have democracy. And I also believe if we don't have free speech, we don't have democracy.
That's why they're both listed in parts of the First Amendment.
But what's happening at these city council meetings, and I do believe attendance, just period, in the history of city council is at an all-time low. I don't remember it reaching these low rates during Schertzer or Kellogg's term, and those are the only other two I've covered, but I don't remember them being this low when council meetings were like paint drying.
When they forget to either take public comment, they refuse to take public comment, or it's a done deal. Like, why waste your summer evening?
Well, this
why
is the
not
point.
Go spend time with your family
well,
and
this,
be productive?
Well, this is the point. Going to a city council meeting has never been a fun activity. I mean, it's not the circus, and it's not a summer night with the family. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying when there are issues that people do feel passionate about, and even if they don't think they're going to change the votes on them, I'm not sure that's what the First Amendment is all about. I think the First Amendment is about being heard, being on the record, being allowed to get up and speak, and being allowed to question your public officials because they are public servants.
And I did that on this topic, and now I plan on going full on anti this from now until Election Day. And Sean Barr was very telling last night, and I plan on clipping the audio of it when Sean Barr said, this is said to be a power grab, and this is da-da-da-da-da. Okay, when Sean Barr is saying that's not what it is, that's exactly what it is. Because if that man's lips are moving, he's lying. And them trying to say, oh, this isn't a power grab, this is because we've all ran unopposed, and that was too hard, so we couldn't imagine what it would be like to run a campaign that was opposed. So please give us more time in this job. No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And to say it's... I mean, the reasons they're giving us that they can't campaign and do the people's work at the same time, well, it's a good thing none of you have tried to, if you're already admitting that you can't. Who has ran for re-election up there besides Rollins And he is not one that has complained about campaigning.
Well, I was looking, and by the way, again, for week number two, and I'm not chastising, but no Marianne Starr there either. And I'm starting to wonder, okay, now how is the information going to come out of this other than the live stream? I mean, if I, and I'm not saying that I'm doing any great chore there, but if I didn't show up, who's going to be in this room? I mean, who is going to report on what's going on?
No one.
I mean, this is becoming a real danger in Marion.
And another thing that we should talk about is the fact that they applied for that fire department grant last night. And I think it's great and it sounds good, and this is where I wonder if our leaders have a real understanding of what the hell's going on, because it's a grant and it's for us to add firefighters, and yes, we all know we're in a situation now where we need them, and for the first 2 years we need to come up with $54,000 to do that. Okay, that's doable. We can probably do that. That's a 25% match. Now, in year three, and we have already told the state of Ohio that we're still going to be having problems in 2029 financially, and this might even be into 2030, but we've said in 2029 we're still going to be having problems. We've acknowledged it on paper to the state of Ohio. We're going to need to go, we're going to go from 25% match to a 65% match in the third year. Why aren't we asking at least, why aren't they slowing down long enough to say, where is the money coming from?
Well,
no one even said that. No one even said, where is the money coming from?
Well, I don't even think that was the bigger question, because what I didn't quite understand about, listen, apply for the grant if you want to. Obviously, if council votes for it, that's what you're going to do.
Okay, but no one said, where is the match money coming from in year three? When we go from 25% to 65% and we're already broke, where does the extra 40% come from in year three?
Well, but the thing before that was a little bothersome to me was, it's my understanding, and I might be wrong on this, but that the fire department is budgeted for a certain amount of employees right now, and they can't even fill the positions they're budgeted for. So I don't quite, and last or 2 months ago, whenever it was, when I asked Chief Deem about this, he said the reason was because of the perception that the Marion department is broke, and last night they said, or the city is broke, and they said last night that they had lost another firefighter just because they went to another department. Now, if you can't fill the positions that you are budgeted for, why do you want more positions that you're not going to be able to fill? I thought that...
But I think they're looking at this as like a revenue stream to cover, because they're probably going to have to start running more overtime if we're losing people. That's just inevitable. But they're probably looking at this as like a stopgap for payroll, and we'll use it right now, and we'll figure it out later, and we can't.
But it's my understanding that I think it's like six people now with the person who quit this week, in the last week, six positions they are budgeted for that they don't have filled. So why?
I'm not going to 100% say sure. I know for sure because the fire department renegotiated their contract, and I know they made some concessions in it. I don't know if it had to do with actual bodies on the payroll or if it just had to do with like staffing levels.
Well, at least that one, I would always imagine at least that one job that opened up.
Yes. The one job was unexpected, that's for sure. Yeah. The one position was unexpected. But we got to stop just saying, let's apply for this, let's apply for that, let's apply for whatever, because when those positions are now grants funded in 3 years and we've got, you know, we're running out of the money now, we become the sole, you know, 65% of the funder. We've got to figure that out. We can't just say, oh yeah, we'll take that money now. There's strings attached to it later, and we've got to look at the later strings attached right now.
You know what's odd to me? Last night I was sitting there thinking, because it wasn't all that entertaining of a meeting, just a bunch of...
They didn't even have 5 minutes of conversation about that, though. I don't understand.
Well, I don't think they had conversation about anything.
Well, they didn't even have a committee meeting. They skipped committee and everything. committee consideration suspended the rules and passed it last night.
Yeah, but here's...
They didn't even discuss where the money's coming from.
Well, here's the thing that I was thinking about, because there is this decorum thing in committee, and there is, obviously last night it was passed, it's going to go on to the voter now. And by the way, by the looks, and I think we're the only one news site that's posting the story so far, people don't seem to be in favor of voting for this in the fall, so it doesn't look like that's going to go very well. I don't see one person saying, yeah, this is a good idea. And Thad, who said he would probably vote for it, doesn't think it's going to pass. So, okay.
And he also said he's had constituents contact him and say they didn't want
right.
this. They didn't think this was a good thing.
So there, and he said that's why he voted no. So, again.
And you know what? Good for him for listening to his constituents.
Yeah, and not to. And now, see, I'm going to give him a lot of credit. Now, number one,
yes.
He spoke to me last night. There was no issue
yes.
with that. Number
yes.
two, he said, he was honest. I will vote for this. I've lobbied for this. But because I've heard opposition, that's why I voted no.
Well, and I don't want to steal his thunder completely, because he did do the right thing and he did speak to you in a room full of other people did not. But it also makes it easy to vote no when you know it's going to pass anyway.
Well, yeah, but by the time they got
to the deciding vote.
But I don't think he knew how Rollins and Kreider were going to vote. He made his vote in that line earlier than they did.
Yeah, but his buddy Bill Dichtel on the other side, who's never won an election, sure would like to be appointed for 4 years instead of two.
Well, I don't. You know, I'm surprised.
And think about that when we do this 4 year thing, and this I can't prove this. This is just speculation on my part. But I think that Prater ran with the thought that he was going to resign and let that position be appointed.
People have done that in the past.
I think that's what happened. And, you know, the fact that we'll go back to Bill Dichtel never won an election. He sure would vote yes to extend that position to 4 years if he could get appointed. But is that fair? Okay, so if people have done that in the past, is that fair to think you're getting Prater for 2 years and then you get Dichtel for four? And I'm just using those names.
Well, no, but
would
I...
that be fair?
But again, I can think of two names off the top of my head of people who did just the same thing in the past.
I believe you. It's just nothing that I'm terribly familiar with, and I don't think that it's right.
Well, I don't think it's right, but I think the reason it's done is because the person is a sitting council person in that position, and the fact that the parties do want that to stay in their category. And the other two people I'm thinking of, who I'm pretty sure did this, I can't read their mind, but you can just look at the facts after an election, how quick they were gone. I mean, one was a Republican and one was a Democrat, so it's not like they both don't do it. And I guess, though, the point is that...
Well, the four-year thing is even less of a reason for us to vote for it, then, because if they want to play the politics like that, then give them your two-year term and earn your next one.
Well, the surprising thing, one person who was there last night, who did get up and speak, was Teresa Lubke,
mm-hmm.
who is somewhat of a, I think, a big deal in the Democratic club party here in Marion, as she was going to run for treasurer, and she was a write-in at one point for council president. You know, last night she got up again and said she's all for this four-year thing. So, maybe the parties are for it. I don't know, but I don't know that the people are. I don't know. Maybe both parties like the idea.
I guess we'll find out in November, won't we?
We will, but I do believe that in the day, because the only difference I can say to the low attendance of these meetings is the Facebook Live, because it used to be an option. See, what the problem is now is that it used to be, do I want to go to that boring meeting to speak out about such and such or hear what's being said, or do I want to spend time with my family? And a lot of people would say, well, I'm going to go because there's no other way. Now there is another way. And I think that has hurt.
Because tonight I'm going to city planning. There's no other way. It's not broadcast or anything like that. And I wouldn't know what happened until after the fact. It's the Dollar General stuff. It's just getting crazier and crazier down there. Now they're trying to get a variance so they can have a smaller parking lot than what is legally required in the city of Marion. So they already want a zoning variance. And then They also might need a retention pond down there for the parking lot runoff because, you know, it's a bottleneck and feeding out to Holland Road and all of that other stuff and the way the neighborhood floods. So the big ruse about cleaning up the tires because of mosquitoes and then possibly putting in a retention pond, that doesn't seem, those things don't seem to go together too well.
I don't know. We'll see how this all shakes out in the end, but I'm starting to get the
vote. No.
Well,
vote no.
You know, it's going up to the voters. I guess we'll see how it shakes out.
See what somebody else has to say. Take care, Scott.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And I'll tell you why the attendance was stark last night. Because yesterday's program opened up with a call that was a call for people to show up and protest this 4-year term and staggered terms for council members and president going on the ballot in November, and close to an all-time low showed up last night. So, you know, maybe that's not a big issue for people, I guess, in the end. 740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Scott. I just wanted to put a shout-out out there to Thaddeus Smith. I think he showed a lot of courage. I think it takes a lot of courage. It takes some cojones to be in the middle of a crowd of your own people, your own party, and buck the system. I was just listening to him say that part of the reason why is that, you know, because of the campaigning and all that that you have to do at the, you know, the end of your 2-year term. I'd say this to him and all the council people, if you get out and meet the people, if you beat the streets, if you put yourself out there, if you reach out, if you, I mean, get out there and be people, person, council people, that's your campaign. And it's not one of those things that, see, when it's still a 2-year term, you're campaigning as you're working. And so the constituent are looking, you know, and watching your campaign as you go, and they're watching your performance. So it's an ongoing thing. I would love to hear why and what the, you know, their reason behind it is with Aaron Rollins and Scott Kreider. I would it surprises me with Teresa Lubke. And as I've said yesterday, because I have questions and because I'm surprised by something doesn't mean I think they're wrong. It's just, let's have discussions about these things. I really, as far as like the Sean Barr and the people speaking, I just wanted to say real quick, I mean, yeah, it was obvious. It was somebody, I don't know that it's staged. It's somebody he invited because they were there last week. And I really encourage everybody to show up, and I invite people. And, I mean, I would praise anybody that I invited and show support, if not even get up and stand with them to speak. It's intimidating to get up in an atmosphere like that.
Well, what do you...
I'm going to say a shout-out for that.
Right. Well, let me ask you this. What do you make of the idea? Yesterday's show here started out with a call encouraging people to show up at the city council meeting last night to speak out against the 4-year terms and the staggering of the terms appearing on the ballot. And yet, not only did people not show up, I think it was one of the lowest attended meetings we've had.
As I said yesterday, unfortunately, Democrats and my fondness for the independents, we're lazy voters. You know, people hate politics. I mean, they hate it to the point people just want to escape. People want to watch some kind of drama on TV and binge watch that. Or it's, you know, the weather's decent and, you know, people are getting outside doing things, working in the yards. And I'm not defending it. I'm just, it's the truth. You know, if Democrats are honest with themselves, you know, in elections, you know, the Republicans were the consistent voters on, you know, on election day. If it's a rainy day, nasty day, guess what? The Democrats don't show up, but the Republicans would get out there and do it because they knew, they understand the importance of voting. And Republicans cannot win in the United States without help. They cannot win on their own numbers. So
It's very interesting because I don't know. I'm not saying people speaking out from the audience is going to change a vote, but I do think being on the record, I used to say this a lot with council members, being on the record matters. And I think Thad Smith is the example of that last night in that his vote did not change how that turned out. But here this morning, he is receiving a lot of compliment and praise because he did not go with all the rest. And he also, it wasn't a party thing. I mean, he's a Republican. He went.
It shows me that he's thinking for himself. He's not group thinking. That's what's important. I mean, again, I don't agree with everybody's vote on different things, but if you're able to show me or explain to me in a conversation your thought process and not use talking points. I mean, to show me that you really, well, here's why, and here's the why behind the why. You know, so many politicians can't do that today. They just speak in talking points. Many of the politicians today have just gotten into politics, and they don't know the procedurals and all of that, so everybody kind of parrots everybody else. You don't have uniqueness. And to me, the uniqueness is what we need. You know, in my opinion, typically, you know, if you want true leadership, leaders are the people. The leaders you want are the leaders who really don't want to be leaders. You know, people who seek leadership, I think they're seeking the fringe benefits of leadership. I think many of them, not all, there's good, you know, there's good leaders that are seeking it, but I think the reward to a good leader is not headlines, not this and that, is that people are happy. People are, there isn't controversy all the time. The just like with the country today with Donald Trump, you know, we are day to day, you never know what crap's going to happen or what, you know, how. I literally drove down the road and watched gas station prices as I'm driving. The prices go up on the digital signs. I've never seen that in my life. And it's happened to me multiple times over on Main Street. That's crazy to me. As I said, I want to encourage people to, I encourage people all the time. I hear them complain about the sanitation bills and how you can't talk to people up there at the sanitation, you know, where the glass wall is, and you can't understand people, and how you can't get a year to date and a day to, or, you know, week to week or month to month, how you paid your bill, where the money went. And I've told them, they said they call in and this and that. Come to city council. There's going to be people there, your administration, your council people. You can address Mark Russell because you just got a letter from his office saying that, you know, you got court costs against you that you were never even given a chance to go to court for. So you have to get up there and speak, people. And I know you don't like to. You like to do it. And unfortunately, that's what has happened with this Facebook stuff. You know, we got a lot of bold people that get on Facebook, and they're able to just attack this person and express themselves and all that, but they can't function face-to-face.
Well, it's a point.
Terrible.
It's a point. Hey, thanks for calling.
All right, bye. Have a good one.
All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 48 minutes past the hour here. Feel free to buzz in if you like, 740-383-9944. Hey, I did hear last night or this morning that Dom Tiberi is leaving his position as sports director at Channel 10 after 45 years. How about that? A lot of people, big fans of his. He's been there quite a long time, 45 years. That's a good run. And I guess he's not going into total retirement. He's going to do some things with the old Buckeyes still. So he's got that going on, but I did want to mention that this morning. Now, if anybody's got anything else to say about the city council, feel free to buzz in, 740-383-9944. We've got 11 minutes left in the program. And, you know, this now goes to the voters. It's a done deal as far as that goes, going to the voters. City council getting four-year terms and those being staggered terms. Not all seats up in the same year. Now, that will go to the voter coming up in November. Is this a good or bad thing? And do you like what 5th Ward City Councilman Thaddeus Smith had to say? He was the lone no vote in that particular vote last night. 740-383-9944. Or do you have a thought as to why city council meetings are not well attended right now? You know, that's a whole nother thing going on. A whole nother problem. 740-383-9944. Again, 10 minutes left in the program. If you'd like to weigh in on any of this, please feel free. Oh, well, I did want to mention this as well this morning. Goodness gracious. It was on, I think, the Channel 10 News last night. I'm not sure if it was on anything else. But has anybody seen the mess going on over in Cardington with the graduation, the high school graduation? I mean, a holy mackerel. There's a story like this every year during high school graduation. The valedictorian over at Cardington, the valedictorian at Cardington, Brandon Elliott, I believe is his name, apparently wrote a speech last week to give at graduation, which was on Sunday, I believe. And he put some things in there that I guess the school did not like. So the school asked him not to say those things during graduation on Sunday. And it's my understanding that he did not say those things, but at the end of his speech, he was talking about how freedom of speech does not exist in Cardington. And as that happened, I'm not sure who it was, honestly. I don't know if it was the superintendent or the principal, who it was, but somebody stood up and basically pushed him out of the way. While he was giving his valedictorian speech. And the school is saying this was protocol. This is how it was supposed to be handled. And there are allegations that his diploma was going to be withheld. And I don't think it was, from my understanding. But, you know, these graduation speeches, they become very dramatic, and apparently there was going to be a great, because I guess there was a school board meeting last night over in Cardington. There was a lot of people were going to go and complain about this, and they went into executive session and renewed the contract of the superintendent for another 5 years, I guess. It's a mess over there. And Channel 10 came down to cover this. Has anybody any thoughts on this? This every year, it almost seems, that we get a graduation story like this. Something happens with a graduation speaker. I did see the video where the gentleman kind of pushes the valedictorian out of the way of the microphone during the speech. Now, I don't think I would have done that. I don't know. You know, there are certain hills that you die on, and I don't know if that would be a hill in front of graduation and the valedictorian is speaking to push him out of the way while he's giving his speech. Now, the question is, should the valedictorian have been talking about free speech when the speech that he gave had already been altered, and then I guess he knew more or less that certain things were not going to be tolerated by the administration? I don't know. Does anybody have any thoughts on this? I guess it was on the news last night, Channel 10. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I don't know why this is a thing every graduation season. But did graduation speeches get a whole lot more political or, I don't know, substantive than they used to be? I don't remember graduation speeches having this much trouble before. And here this happens in little old Cardington. You know, not a big place. Not a huge graduating class. And here's your valedictorian, Brandon Elliott, getting pushed to the side. Does anybody have any thoughts? We've got about 5.5 minutes left. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If you've got anything to say about that or the city council wrap-up that we did this hour, you can say anything about either one of those things or anything else that might be on your mind. 740-383-9944. I will say that when there's a kerfluffle, like what went on over there at the Cardington graduation, boy, did the Columbus media rushes down here in a situation like that. I was looking at the attention that was getting on social media yesterday, that story was getting a tremendous amount of attention on social media. And I don't know. I'm not sure that it was right for the person to push the student out of the way. But then I think, does it really need all this attention? I mean, he did get his diploma. It's a strange situation. I don't know. If you are an administrator, what do you do when the valedictorian goes off speech? When the speech has already been approved. And am I getting the particulars of this right? I'm not saying I've studied deeply into this subject. So am I getting the particulars of this right? Does anybody have any thoughts here? 4 minutes left to go in the program. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And I wonder where this will go. I don't know if it'll get any more traction. I remember, what was it, 4 or 5 years ago when the River Valley commencement speaker, who was an adult, said something, I guess, a little provocative about marriage being between a man and a woman during that speech. Well, that ended up on the national news. And I'm not sure that was characterized correctly in all circles. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I'd want to be a graduation speaker at this point, because apparently there is a lot of scrutiny and a lot of stuff. Everybody's got a camera now, so we all see the administrator pushing the valedictorian to the side, and that's bound to anger parents. That's bound to anger people who see it. So, you know, there it is. Yeah, we got 2.5 minutes left. If anybody wants to speak on anything, feel free. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You know, I guess we have to wonder what is acceptable in this world and what is not acceptable and how far people are going to be allowed to go and this has been a trend for like a decade now that these things happen. And this is the second time something like this has happened in our particular area. So it's really bizarre to me in a lot of ways. But it got the Columbus media down here, so there you go. So I guess it was of interest to some people. Maybe not of interest to others, I guess is the way that song plays out. Well, we're down to about 90 seconds here. If anybody's got anything they'd like to inject and can do it in 90 seconds, now would be the time. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And we do want to thank Joey Dioria, the well, I guess Bozo the Clown, best role he's known for. 17 years as Bozo the Clown, 1984 through 2001. Not a bad guest to open up with. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, you know what they say, Scott? Never give a microphone to a person that you don't know what they're going to say.
I guess these live speeches anymore, goodness gracious, it can be a mess.
I mean, you know, a shout out to a man, a good friend of mine that's passed away now, Jim McGuire. He was a very non-controversial person throughout his life. There at the end of his life, he made a very controversial speech at a graduation here locally.
Oh yeah.
And that speech and a letter he sent to the county commissioners about Cheryl Plaster and MRDD, I definitely think, and as I said, he always stood on his convictions, but he was very non-controversial, but I believe he knew the end was near, and I believe he knew how important it was for him to express his beliefs. And even if I don't believe in somebody else's beliefs, if they defend it like he defends it and he believed in it like he believes in it, I mean, that says something. So I'm always willing to listen to somebody about that on religion, whether it be politics or anything. But let's talk, people. Let's just not react.
I think you're right. Well, maybe we'll talk more about this tomorrow.
All right,
hey, thanks for coming. Bye-bye. All right, for this day, Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
I mean, they never let me yell at the kids or anything, which most parents, you know, all the kids.